Why does the wind have to be so pushy? That's what I thought you said. Yeah, the wind is kind of pushy, isn't it? It pushes your tower over.
Learning can be a struggle.
So I wonder if you could do something to make them more stable, to hold up against the wind. What would make it more stable?
It helps if you have something or someone to prop you up when you need it. But when everything comes together, it can be really exciting.
Excited about that.
Welcome to Tinkering Together, a podcast miniseries from the Exploratorium's Tinkering Studio in San Francisco, California. I'm your host, Anya Kamenetz, a journalist and author who thinks a lot about how children learn. Basically, I get to learn for a living. And over the next three episodes, we're going to be exploring tinkering. Okay, so what is tinkering? We're not talking about trying to fix up a car. Tinkering in this context is a pedagogy, a particular approach to teaching and learning. It's aimed at learners of all ages. And some of the basic elements of tinkering as a pedagogy are purposeful play, learner choice, and collaboration. Tinkering can happen anywhere, but one of the places it is practiced is at the Tinkering Studio. That's located inside the Exploratorium, the Museum of Science, Art, and Human Perception, on San Francisco's beautiful waterfront, the Embarcadero. As we get further into these three episodes, we'll learn about the tinkering cycle, and even some of the challenges of tinkering.
So it kind of breaks all your thoughts into little pieces.
But now it's time to meet our first guest, Ernesto Rodriguez.
I'm the eldest of six kids, so I have a big family, so I guess I was used to hanging out with the kids.
Ernesto followed a surprising path to become an early childhood educator. He used to be a chef. Then his daughter started attending a co-op preschool. That's where parents are invited into the classroom as volunteers.
My daughter was enrolled by the time, and I started volunteer over there, making a snack, hanging out with the kids. And then I really liked it. So I started taking classes. I got my permits. So I become a lead teacher. And now I'm enrolling my master for special education. So
in the summer of 2021, Ernesto's early childhood classroom participated in a tinkering experiment. The Exploratorium's Tinkering Studio partnered with early childhood classrooms so that both the teachers and the students could try tinkering together. It was called the STEAM Starters Project. STEAM, you might have heard, it stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Math. And the start was story time.
Here come the birds, half on the left side, half on the right side.
The book they read was called Balance the Birds.
There were birds on the tree, and then three birds were on this side of the branches. And we read the book first during circle time. And kind of just talk about it, right? Oh, what do you think? See the pictures.
So reading this book, which brings in the mathematical concepts of counting, balancing, weights and measures, addition and subtraction, and all of this started the tinkering in Ernesto's class.
You know, like they were like putting so much attention. They were like, oh, what is next? And what do you think is going to happen? And we were asking questions like, what do you think if all the birds go to one side? Oh, what do you think is going to happen if all the birds go to the other side? And then they were doing this thing like when their own bodies, right? Like copying whatever was happening in the book.
Right away, the kids do what they often do. They took what was happening in the book to real life. Just like these two girls on the playground, if you can picture them, they're standing on a little teeter-totter.
That is good balancing.
So this is the start in STEAM Starters. In this example, tinkering started with a book. That's a fun, familiar activity in lots of early childhood classrooms. And the book is one that's been picked specifically to introduce these concepts that children already have a little knowledge of. So their curiosity gets kind of tickled.
That is good balancing.
And the next step is the grown-ups who are facilitating the tinkering bring out some materials so you can really start that purposeful play. Now, With tinkering, a lot of the work happens before you even get to the classroom, so the tinkering studio carefully and intentionally chose the materials that each classroom had to work with. For example, in the balancing activity, it was paper towel tubes, cones, blocks, balls.
What's more challenging, Kelly?
This way, with your ball on the bottom.
Yeah, good job, little bird.
Pieces of cardboard. There were bowls. There were bases, like the flower plastic bases that we use in a regular for a desk or a table. There were little tiny boxes, tape, cylinders.
Yeah. Well, if your bottom's not exactly straight.
But there's also room for the kids to add on their own stuff. So Ernesto said in this case they were inspired by the birds book.
And the funny part is that we put the materials in their window books and the kids is like, no, we need animals. So they were going and grab dinosaurs. Or they were going and grab lions. And they were making this structure. And they were like, no, we need a bigger animal here. So we can balance with the other one because we have too many small ones.
So this is what's called the exploration space. It's a literal open space in the classroom where very specific materials are set up for the children to explore. And for tinkerers, this is also a metaphorical space where there's just enough boundaries, just enough adult direction to keep kids exploring and progressing along a specific line of inquiry. So even though you have all of this preparation going on the back end, it can look pretty spontaneous. Ernesto said it was like the kids seemed to just get in there and start messing around.
These machines have a motor that spins, and when I plug them in,
So one of the things that really, really amazed me is that you are just giving them materials and they start using it and they come up with more ideas.
He says that it's pretty similar to the way he operates his program in general.
Yeah, I think that the fact because we really respect the kids' lead. We really respect their ideas. I think our philosophy as a program is to let them be. You know, if a kid wants to build a castle, okay, let's build a castle. If a kid wants to make a meal for everybody, let's go. So we just let them explore whatever interest they have.
And you know, you see a lot of this in progressive and play-based styles in early education, although it gets a lot less common as kids get older. However, with tinkering, things are a little bit different. It's actually a bit more structured than it first appears. So instead of the play and the topics of the play being totally driven by the kids, you kind of present the children an invitation with words and with objects. And that invitation is probably going to connect to basic science principles. So in this case, it would be, let's explore balancing and what it takes for objects to balance.
We just put the materials on the table and just let them see what they do. We just support them, like when questions, we ask questions. Oh, what do you think about this? What are you doing next? We just ask them like open-ended questions and see how their creativity goes. I think that was the most fun part.
And Ernesto found in this exploration space, grown-ups have to walk a fine line so that the kids can explore and discover their own internal questions. So adults, you know, it's fine to give words of encouragement, definitely ask some questions, make sure everybody's safe, of course, and step in when you see those opportunities to take things a little bit further. Pursue a child's question that comes up naturally, maybe offering a new material to try.
Okay, gonna get another ball.
And so this case is kind of a fun one. A girl is lying on the rug, she's got her feet up,
ready?
And there's a basket balanced on her feet with tennis balls in the basket.
Do you want to try to get brave and add one more?
Yes.
Okay.
So Ernesto's was a co-op classroom. So Ernesto had parent volunteers helping out. parent volunteers just like he used to be. And sometimes he had to guide them to be more hands-off.
Sometimes the parents is like, no, don't stack this here, stack in the other way. So my role kind of changed a little bit to try to show the parents that they let them figure it out by themselves and see what they do. And for me, it was like a little hard at the beginning. You try to step back a little bit.
Ernesto says when you're really engaged in facilitating the tinkering, you might ask a question like, what did you expect to see here? Or what might you try next? And what he's discovered is that the kids are pretty focused and they keep solving new problems as they come up.
They try to solve a problem. Like, for example, when the balance materials, they tried to balance everything and it was falling over and over and over until they figured out how to stack the materials and balance them so it doesn't fall. So little by little, when the pass of the time, we notice that using the materials, they think and they learn how to solve a problem.
And another dimension of tinkering Ernesto found is that when kids are really set free into this kind of purposeful play, it's very social. They're generating their own questions and they start talking with each other, comparing notes. And that builds vocabulary, which is important, especially in his program where the students speak English and Spanish.
They were taking turns, they were talking, they were interacting, they were having ideas, they were sharing ideas. So for me, though, it was kind of a surprise to see them so engaged. And they were using all these skills that we were talking about during the year, but in a different, in a strong way. It's like that they really wanted to do it, like for real.
And Ernesto said in his classroom, these STEAM-based tinkering explorations, they had real staying power.
So they really, really embraced the concept and they were using it in everything. Like, I mean, they couldn't stop talking about it. They were like talking about balance for months.
You know, I've also been emphasizing grown-up's role as sort of being stepping back, not being too involved, but tinkering is a process that affects adults very much as well. And in one way is that you just really start to delight in children's problem-solving abilities and their imaginations. And Ernesto told me a story that really stuck out about this from a different tinkering topic they took on. Later in the STEAM Starters project, after balancing, they did light and shadow. And in this case, he said the children were transforming their exploration space with lights.
They create this shadow room and we put the lights there and they have different materials and they were doing shadows and they build like a little, like almost like a little stage. And they put the lights on one side and they were doing the shadow and they were like, oh, we need music. So some of the kids that were playing music and other ones that were doing the shadows and the other ones is like, no, we need to make a movie. But then they make a shadow movie with music in the shadow room.
I'm gonna put light.
This is the outside.
So that's the magic of tinkering. Basically, you have kids reconstructing the entire human history of dramatic storytelling in an afternoon, from moving hands and making shadows, to a stage with lighting, to cinema. So at this point in the story, we've covered some of the what of tinkering and some of the how of tinkering. Now let's take a little minute to talk about the why.
On average, elementary classrooms spend about 20 minutes per day, if not less, on science.
Ryan Carrata is a teacher and a STEAM instructional coach with the Sonoma County Office of Education. And he says the people who teach young kids don't always feel like they have the tools or the training they need to cover science well.
Science is not taught to a level that it should be taught. And I think teachers are a bit hesitant to do science in the classroom because, you know, teacher preparation, it can be really scary to not fully understand ideas yourself, to embrace it with your learners.
That is why he's such a big fan of tinkering.
But I feel that if you use books as a way to invite that, it makes it a little less scary that we're learning together with our students. So I think the more we can build on, you know, just invitations for science learning in the classroom, I think it's really going to be powerful, powerful experience for teachers and for students too.
And Ernesto really agrees with this because he sees tinkering as an invitation for teachers to learn alongside their students.
I feel like the person who's going to learn more when this project is the teacher, and you're going to learn a lot about yourself, which is great. And then you grow in them, and then you come up with new different perspectives to see how you are teaching and why you are teaching like that. I think that was the most important part that I found out. It's like, why I'm doing this? Why I'm doing everything this way? Or why are not this way?
So from the child's point of view, yes, tinkering has a few different steps. You get the introduction of the ideas, maybe with a book, then the introduction of the materials and the exploration space. Adults kind of take a step back, ask some questions. The children experiment with trial and error. They discover things, which can go on as long as you like. And if all of this sounds a little bit like the steps of the scientific method, where you form a hypothesis, test it, then reflect on what happens, that's no accident. That is exactly why Kurata says that introducing science in this way can actually be more authentic and more effective than direct instruction, because it's not pushing science facts into kids' brains, it's giving them the opportunity to think like scientists. Here's some kids in Ernesto's classroom.
That was just a practice one, right?
Yes.
So that was cool, Ginger Ernie.
That was cool?
So first we need to...
And they are totally into trying again.
That more open-ended leads to true engagement and true understanding of science concepts.
Teachers also have a tinkering process or a tinkering cycle. First you plan, then you facilitate, which includes stepping back, cheering on, asking questions, and then you observe and you document what happened. So the classroom sounds in this podcast, by the way, they come from videos submitted by teachers in different parts of California who took part in the STEAM Starters program. And those videos are an example of documentation. Documentation is one way to reflect on what happens in the classroom. So plan, facilitate, reflect, and for teachers, the final step in the tinkering cycle is relaunching. That's right. As a teacher, when you tinker, you want to do it more than once. You want to incorporate what you learned the first time, what you saw the first time, so you can try again, just like your kids do.
The tinker cycle. Like, you have a concept, then you find a book, and then you have the materials, and you put it on the table, and the kids use it, and then they keep using it, and the kids learn the concept, and they add stuff, and then we reflect. So that's how they call it, the tinkering cycle.
So tinkering is not something that happens just once. You can find your own style as a teacher and make it your own.
Working with these materials and this experience, by the end of the project, you have your tinkering style as a teacher, because we realize that we are teachers, we're different, right? And I think that was the most important part about the project, that you can see different styles.
So for Ernesto, it really boils down to this.
But in my case, I feel like a tinkering is just how you make the children to think and solve problems. That's how I see it.
So the not so secret is teachers are tinkerers too. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Tinkering Podcast.
Thank you, tinkering friends.
In the next episode, we'll get in a little deeper and we'll hear a little bit more about the social and emotional side of tinkering.
The activities, I call them frustration rich, and children having those opportunities, like multiple opportunities for them to fail at something and, you know, get over their failure quickly, like to accept failure as part of their progress, is something really amazing.
If you have feedback on the podcast, please go to tinkeringtogether.org. We're going to have a form for comments through April 4th, 2022. We'd love to hear from you.